We're back with Teacher Talk, sponsored by the Columbus Education Association, who is solely responsible for the views expressed. I'm Sue Miziak, your host. On Teacher Talk tonight, we'll be speaking with Mark Real, president of KidsOhio.org, an online resource center for policymakers, educators, parents, and community groups interested in improving education in Ohio. We will discuss some of the hot topics which impact teachers and students, not only in the Columbus City Schools, but also in the rest of the state. So welcome back to Teacher Talk, Mark.
Thank you, Sue.
Well, it's always a pleasure having you here. You're the person who has all the numbers. You're the person who knows what's really going on, not just in the district. And I want to make that really clear to our listeners, because you have the statewide view. And yes, you look at national trends as well, but you have that statewide view. And so it isn't just about Columbus. Let's learn very quickly here, just an overview, get an overview of KidsOhio.org. Tell us a little bit about its history. I already mentioned in my introduction that you were created by community and business leaders in 2002. But what is its history, its mission, and how are you funded?
Well, we're a nonpartisan, nonprofit research and policy organization. We're funded entirely by the private sector, meaning companies like Nationwide and AEP and Limited Brands. We do not accept any funds from the school district or the state or city government. So that we can remain an independent voice.
Right, right. So why, though? Why are you in existence? What is the role that you are playing now in the state, in the district? What do you do?
I think
do?
A lot of our role is to present accurate information and to present information in context. Education, as you know, is one of those issues everybody feels there's an expert because we've all gone to school.
Right.
And there are a lot of public policy issues always in the Ohio General Assembly and, of course, ones that face our community. And so it's important to be able to present accurate information to community leaders so that when we make decisions, we're making them on the basis of facts and not just on the basis of rumor or hearsay.
Mm-hmm. And I like the fact that you are dealing with the facts, and which is something that a lot of people don't do. As you said, they approach it from an experiential or an emotional point of view. So let's move on to our topics, because we have a lot to talk about today. There's an awful lot going on in education in Ohio, and especially here in Columbus. The first thing I'd like, we're going to talk about Columbus Education Commission, the legislation around the implementation of the commission's recommendations, and certainly the commission has been in the news since last fall. And we're also going to take a look at the Common Core Standards, a topic that you and I have talked about on this program in the past, but very interestingly, I'm seeing lots and lots of press about the Common Core Standards now during these last few months. So, Mark, let's start off with the Columbus Education Commission. Mayor Coleman and City Council President Ginther created the commission to examine the challenges and opportunities facing all children living within the Columbus City School District. And I think we need to make this really clear. We're not talking about just all children who are in the Columbus City Schools, but within the district. Is that correct?
That's correct.
Yeah, and there's a difference there, isn't there? And can you just point out who are some of the people who are in the district but not in the Columbus City Schools?
Well, if we went back 10 years ago, there were roughly 65,000 students in public schools in the city of Columbus, a small number of children in charter schools. Most of the rest were in the district. So today you have a different situation. You've got almost 15,000 children in public charter schools. Those are public schools. You've got almost 50 in the district school, and you've got about 3,000 children who live in the district who are funded for private school vouchers but with public funds. So when the mayor and the city council president were looking at this, they're looking at all 65,000 of those children
right.
and saying those are the children of Columbus. We have to honor whatever choices their parents have made, and we want to improve education for all of them.
Okay. Well, say, Mark, does that include homeschooled children?
Not really, because although there's some migration, as you know, of homeschooled children to charter schools.
Mm-hmm.
But homeschooled, that's a choice that families have made, and they typically don't want school district assistance. Keep in mind that the commission was formed actually at the request and suggestion of retiring Superintendent Jean Harris.
Mm-hmm.
In her letter of announcing her retirement, she asked Mayor Coleman and city government to become more involved. And so to their credit, they have. And when they look at the city, the city of Columbus is much bigger than the Columbus School District.
That's right.
And so when they look at this, at the parts of the city of Columbus that were served by the Columbus School District, they see two things. One is a decline in births, and the second is only a 5% population growth over the last decade. By contrast, in the city of Columbus areas that are served by suburban school districts, there's been an increase in births, and the growth rate has been 22% in the last decade.
What a difference.
So when the mayor says, I am the mayor of all the children of Columbus, I want to make sure that the children in the central city of Columbus have the same opportunities as children who are attending suburban school districts, most of which are, as you know, are highly rated A or B school districts. And so we're very fortunate in this community to have a mayor and city council that wanted to work with the elected school board and with the unions and with community groups to fashion a Columbus unique remedy. You know, in some communities, the political leadership and the business community are just, oh, that's way too complicated. They just disappear. Mm-hmm. These people have really engaged. And whether, you know, we'll have some listeners who don't agree with particular things that they say. That's every right. But let's look at this from a larger perspective. We have civic leaders who take seriously the idea that our schools need to be doing the best job they can to serve our children.
Right. And so, Mark, one of the ways that they're doing this is they kind of honed in on three different areas. One was the recommendations they were going to propose were focused on enabling all of our children to succeed in the city's vibrant, growing economy. Two, making Columbus a global leader in developing the highly skilled, creative, entrepreneurial workforce that will propel economic growth in the 21st century. There's that word economy again, mm-hmm. So in the first two things. Mm-hmm. And three, leveraging the resourcefulness of our entire community to meet these goals, which I think is interesting because, as you just mentioned, we're looking at the entire community. We're looking at civic and business leaders, et cetera. So in other words, we're all in this together, but it's not just it also has to do with helping the economy of our area by making sure our children are able to succeed. So honestly, this sounds kind of similar to the Columbus City Schools mission statement, which I'm sure you're familiar with, and you know, 21st century skills and all that kind of thing. So why this bold move? Why you said it was based on a recommendation by the soon-to-be-retired superintendent, Dr. Gene Harris. But why at this time?
Well, it's no secret that this has been a very difficult year for the district.
Right.
Okay, these investigations have been front page news for several months. People inside the district are very concerned. And so the idea was to put together a 25-member commission representing all parts of the community. For example, there were four people from the district: the school board president Carol Perkins, the president of the Columbus Education Association Rhonda Johnson, Lois from the employees group, mm-hmm. and Lolita Augenstein, who's the president of the PTA Association. Mm-hmm. And they were joined by, for example, the CEO of Cardinal Health, which is the 17th largest company in the U.S. in terms of revenue, by business leaders from Fifth Third and from Crane Plastics and from Nationwide and from local groups like Children's Hunger Alliance and the Urban League and Impact Community Action and representatives of the Hispanic community and the Somali community and the Asian community and the gay and lesbian community. And so the mayor deliberately put together this cross-section. Many people were skeptical. They didn't think this group could come to agreement. And this group held 8 full-day meetings. These meetings were exhausting. And they were expected to read a thick notebook of the latest literature on urban school reform. And then at every meeting, there were speakers either by video or live speakers. There were Columbus teachers. We had a teacher from Columbus International. We had a Kleister teacher from East Haven. And they did an excellent job of recommending, talking to people about what it's like to be a teacher. We had Columbus school principals. Milt Ruffin at Fort Hayes welcomed Arnie Duncan, the U.S. Secretary of Education.
I remember that, right.
Yeah. Alicia Gillison, principal of Eastmore, who had been honored in a book called Failure is Not an Option. And I think we also had principals and teachers and superintendents from high-performing adjoining school districts. So Southwestern City Schools, for example, which is a majority low-income district, a majority minority district, meets 20 of 26 indicators on the state report card. 20,000 students, sixth largest district in the state, at 32 buildings. So there's some lessons that we can learn.
That's right.
Reynoldsburg, which is a majority minority high-poverty district, again, met 26 of 26 indicators on the state report card. And so we learned from the best locally as well as nationally. And I think what you began to see was people, as they got to know each other, established a common ground. We had business leaders who said to me privately, well, I'm not sure the teachers union should even be on here because they're just going to be selfish. That turned out not to be the case at all. Rhonda Johnson did an excellent job of pointing out the interests of children and how teachers she pointed out, for example, one of the things teachers were frustrated with was the technology in their classrooms wasn't working. And they did a survey, and 90% of the teachers said, we're losing classroom time as a result of inadequate technology. We don't have the same kind of backup. The commission's very sympathetic to that. And we had IT directors from companies come in and say, you know, we couldn't run our company if that was the case.
Right.
So I think, you know, as in a lot of other enterprises, you're a teacher. And as people learn more about this, as people, they get more reasonable. And they also establish a common ground. Gee, we want our children to be able to use technology. You know, we want our schools to be places that we can be proud of. So I think once the commission established that common ground, and I think just to conclude this, you know, the commission was able to agree on a 25-0 vote on 66 recommendations. And this is really an extraordinary tribute to the people who did that. Not everybody got everything they wanted.
Right.
But they understood for the greater good of the community, we needed to unify. And also, we now need to take three of these 66 recommendations to the Ohio General Assembly and ask for their approval.
Well, when it comes to academics and also 21st century skills, can you mention a couple of the recommendations that were made? We're going to go into the recommendations that have gone on to the General Assembly, but could you talk about some of the ones that have to do with the educational part of it?
Sure. Let me give a couple examples.
Sure.
One had to do with principal autonomy. Mm-hmm. There was a broad consensus that principals are really the driver of educational excellence.
I agree with that.
Right. And the teachers did an excellent job of educating the commission that when teachers look for positions, they look for positions with outstanding principals.
That's right.
Okay. And so and this was a recommendation, incidentally, that was made in 1997 by a similar commission. And you know, I think the district, and this was also something in Reynoldsburg where the principals, the idea, and George Barrett, who's the CEO of Cardinal Health, made the point that his job is if he hired people and he didn't give them much latitude to do their job, he couldn't get the best people. And, you know, what Columbus needs to do is get the very best people to be the principals. This is challenging work, and we need to give them the latitude to do their job, but also hold them accountable for results.
You know, Mark, I'm going to interrupt you because this takes me back probably over 15 years ago when Steve Jobs was here in Columbus giving a speech in the Ohio Theater, and he was talking to managers. And he was saying exactly what you are saying now. First, you painstakingly hire the best people, the people who really know what they're doing, and then you let them do their jobs, like you said, with some oversight, but you let them do their jobs rather than maybe micromanaging
it. Well, I think it kind of, you know, mutually agreed upon goals and accountability.
Absolutely.
So there was very strong support in the commission for that, for the idea that principals should be our key leaders, and frankly, to shrink some of the central office and to let, for example, on the issue of technology, people now have to go through the central office. There's a lot of anger and frustration. You know, a lot of enterprises, they can have their own technology, support system at their school. So that was one example.
Right.
The other is in what's called blended learning, combining online learning with in-person learning.
Right.
And we actually had a wonderful demonstration from students from the Metro High School, where half the students are from Columbus City Schools. And these youngsters were actually taking a course in writing computer code. and they were taking it online with an online resource called Udacity, and they were learning. These were ninth graders mm-hmm. learning how to write computer code, and they were doing this also in tandem with Reynoldsburg ninth graders at the STEM school.
Wow!
And they were what their teachers reported. The teachers, some people wrongly thought if we had online learning that would diminish the mm-hmm. role of the teacher. It does not, as
no.
you know. It enhances the role of the teacher because now the teacher's the coach, but not always the content presenter.
That's right.
And so what we found was that the mayor was there that day, was that the students using this blended learning were making considerably more progress than kids who were using the traditional way.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Now, it's not, you know, we don't want to mandate things. You know, these are decisions
right.
that are properly made at the school level. But those are two examples, I think, that enjoyed very broad support in the commission.
Right, right. Well, now, Mark, KidsOhio.org also gave a presentation to the commission, and your presentation was about early childhood education. You know, I've done one or two programs on Teacher Talk about that, and I think the public and certainly educators, business people all over are starting to really recognize the impact of early childhood education or the problems when you don't have it available mm-hmm. To children. So could you just summarize briefly
sure.
what you disclosed in the report that you gave, and how does it fit into this focus of the commission? Because, as I mentioned before, a lot of it was looking at 21st century skills. So,
sure. Well, in order to have 21st century skills, you need to be prepared as early as possible. You need to have critical thinking and reading and writing skills. So there are a couple of sober facts here. A third of youngsters who arrive at kindergarten in the Columbus schools are completely unprepared. And another third require what the state calls intensive instruction.
Mm-hmm.
So two out of three kids come to school needing help immediately. And the district for a couple of years has been thinking about what can they do additionally to make sure more kids have a quality preschool education, come to kindergarten prepared. And in fact, in their levy millage committee, the district in 2012 had considered a proposal. So basically the commission embraced the proposal that our goal ought to make sure that every child whose parents wants them to, it's a voluntary approach,
mm-hmm.
Should have access to a quality preschool experience, and that we should use existing community partners. The schools don't need to do all this themselves.
That's right.
If you've got an existing Head Start program, an existing child care program, they will have to meet the same quality standards, but they can compete for funds, and we can have side-by-side programs. And that was a – you know, we now have, as I mentioned before, 25% of the kids in the district are in charter schools. So we need to have a parallel strategy. We need to have a strategy to improve life for the 75% of kids who are in district schools and for the 25% of kids who are in charter schools.
Wow. Well, I know that this whole issue of early childhood education is one that really even the teachers who are in the regular primary schools are, you know, everyone benefits. I mean, in their classes they benefit if the students who are coming in have had that background. It is interesting that you mentioned that this would be strictly voluntary for a lot of parents and that. I wonder, do you foresee down the road that it isn't, that we look at a situation maybe where children will be starting school at a younger age than they are now? I mean, what do you think? Do you see that?
I mean, we have a situation with families who have money, almost all children go to some sort of preschool.
That's for sure.
Okay. And in Columbus, where more than 80% of the kids are economically disadvantaged, not surprisingly, unless they're able to get into a child care Head Start program, many do not. And
mm-hmm.
they are babysat by television in some cases. So I think the commission was clear they want to close that gap. But they want to educate parents about the importance of preschool
mm-hmm.
and persuade them that this is important to their children as opposed to ordering people. And the reality is right now that the capacity doesn't exist to serve everybody. If we ordered everybody
to
do it, they'd be long waitlist. So let's start with parents
yeah.
who'd like to have their kids in a preschool program who
aren't waiting.
Let's get them in first and you know, work out these communities. And also it broadens the base of support for the school district because you now have partners, neighborhood partners who are
right.
serving preschool children.
Right.
So and one thing, the early childhood programs that we met with were very hungry to learn what the expectations were for their children in kindergarten.
Interesting. All right, good. Well, now, Mark, in last week's dispatch, I read this, and I'm going to do a little quote here. A bill to increase the Columbus mayor's involvement with city schools that stops short of a complete takeover was introduced in the House Thursday by leaders on both sides of the House's political aisle. The legislation would authorize the mayor to sponsor community schools, and for individuals, not every individual is familiar with that term, community mm-hmm. school. It really means charter schools, mm-hmm. okay? And prescribe the creation of the position of independent auditor for the district subject to voter approval in the November 2013 election. The measure would also require Columbus City Schools to seek a levy, the revenue from which would be shared with partnering community schools. Now, I'm outside of this whole thing, Mark. I no longer teach in Columbus City Schools. So I just want to say it sounds like they're trying to dismantle the district when we're saying that this revenue that is so often desperately needed within a district because so many other areas, you know, sources of revenue over the years have been decreased or dried up or whatever. And now it's going to be shared with the community schools, who, of course, also want revenue. So what does this mean to the district? What does this mean to the teachers to the in the district?
Well, I think these are potentially very good things. There's three things. One is it, in light of this issue about the data, mm-hmm. it creates the Office of Independent Auditor to assure both data and fiscal integrity. The voters would decide whether they want to do that in November. Okay, it's not the state legislature, Columbus voters. Same way with sharing funds with high performing. When the mayor has talked about this, he's talked very specifically about high performing charter schools, not about the ones that you've read about in the newspaper that have financial problems or those kinds of things, but reputable nonprofit, publicly accountable school boards. And the decision about what to share and how that would work would be a decision of the elected school board.
Okay.
All right. And then thirdly, the reason the mayor wants to sponsor charter schools is twofold. He is, like you, very concerned that we have too many low-performing charter schools.
Right.
He would like to sponsor some charter schools so that they would have the good housekeeping seal of approval, and they would be the charter schools that you'd be proud to have your children or grandchildren go to. Would also, frankly, give him a platform to talk about low-performing charter schools and why, if they're not performing, they ought to be closed. So this bill has bipartisan sponsorship. It is going to be heard in both the House and the Senate. It is not in any way. This is actually an effort to save and strengthen the district. It's not in a way to destroy the district. This is, and there are many things in this. There are 66 recommendations. Only three require legislative action. The others, such as giving principals more autonomy, improving technology, improving career programs. The commission recommended creating high schools of grades 9 through 14 where students could graduate with a two-year associate degree mm-hmm. with the early childhood programs. None of those require legislative approval, and all of those strengthen the district. So, I mean, I can assure you as somebody who helps staff the commission, it's definitely the intent of the commission and the intent of the mayor and city council partners and the strength in the Columbus City schools, but also to pay attention to the fact that we've got 25% of kids in public charter schools.
Right.
Their parents are taxpayers. They've chosen this. Those schools need to be strengthened as well. But there are a number of other communities where this is being done and being done where it strengthens both sectors.
Mark, you know what? I could just talk with you forever about this topic, and I really wanted to talk to you about what about the teachers in the charter schools, because there's a whole lot of issues relative to that topic as well. We were also supposed to talk about the Common Core standards, and guess what? We're out of time. I don't know. I really wanted to talk about that. I wanted to know. I wanted us to discuss the public perception of the Common Core standards, and we are not going to get it today. But maybe you could come back another time and we could talk about it. What do you think?
Always happy, Sue. You're a great host.
Well, I love having you on the program. You bring so much information to us, insider information. I really appreciate your being on the program, but we are out of time. So thank you so much for joining me on Teacher Talk this evening. This concludes our program. Please join me on Teacher Talk, the first and third Tuesdays of each month. This is Sue Miziak wishing you a good night.